just a little note. I didn't read that the longer version of this thing because it's pretty certain that all that explanation, you know, the seed that fell in the rocks and the birds getting some, et cetera, was added later to this initial parable just about somebody going out and sowing seed. And it was added very likely because a whole bunch of people had joined this Jesus movement, you know, big enthusiasm, and then left. And that left the ones who stayed kind of nervous. Did we make a mistake? So what they did, they were to go back to the parable of Jesus and then apply that and fill in with all these explanatory things as to why those guys left. They buggered off because they really weren't authentic to begin with. So there you are. The letter to the Romans, which is what I'd like to talk a little bit about today, is a really astonishing Paul, in that Paul was simply a genius, seems to me. I've taught all kinds of courses on Paul, and the more I read him and the more time I spend in his presence, the more I am astonished at how bright and how deep and how large this human being was. And why he got approved and canonized and put in what we call the New Testament several hundred years later because of that depth and breadth and the large dimensions of his thought and the power of his imagination. Because as I said a week or so ago, what he did was simply look at the world and interpret it from this Christian point of view. And so we get what sounds like very abstract stuff, huh? Because his interpretation is so different from the way we interpret things. Let's take an example. Enron, WorldCom, Global Crossing, Merrill Lynch, Archer Daniel Midland. The vagaries of the market. These are clearly the vagaries of the market. Yeah. And so the SEC head needs to be fired, according to the Democrats. And it's just, you know, those are the breaks. That's just the way it happened. All there's a little greed involved. But we're all used to greed because we're all greedy, you know. If I were the head of Enron, I'd probably attempt to pull off the same sort of coup that those guys did. Paul looked at the world and makes this astonishing claim that the world had been subject to futility, uselessness. In other words, the very purpose of the world has been frustrated and thwarted. And so the world as we see it and experience it, which seems so normal, is really profoundly distorted. Why? Because the world was given by God to human beings for everybody's sake. The world, as Karl Marx would put it, was given to human beings, and John Paul II, quoting Marx, was given to human beings so they could build a life, so they could become somebody by their interaction with the world. But the point of that interaction was, of course, the construction of the human community. I act in the world because I am members of everybody else. I am a member of everybody else, according to Paul. And to the extent that the world is dealt with simply as my private province within which I can do anything I bloody well want, anything I can get away with, then the world itself, reality itself, is thwarted, frustrated, distorted, misshapen. for dissolution. Now, that's not my way of looking at the world. But that's what Paul was saying. And so what this means for me is that I get to compare my image of the world, because let's face it, that notion of the vagaries of the market and the ups and downs and the 20-year trends and stuff, that too is simply human interpretation of phenomena. Stands under the criticism of this much larger condemnation that Paul issues, that we use the world not for each other, but against each other. And not in some kind of abstract way. I don't know, what maybe it is the ossification of old age setting in. But more and more I look at myself, I look at my neighborhood, and find everybody is radically self-preoccupied. Radically self-preoccupied. Property values being the leading determinant, for example, of the way I understand my neighborhood, and clearly the way the neighborhood understands me. This is creation subject to futility. This is creation subject to futility. And then Paul goes on with this astonishing image of the world being pregnant with itself, the world giving birth, the world in labor pains. So the fact that 30,000, 35,000 kids under the age of 5 die every day on this planet because of lack of water or nourishment is not just one of those melancholy statistics about which I stand apart and pluck. Too bad. Too bad. But somehow, that is part of my consciousness, and that's part of my understanding, if I were Paul, of the world as being subject to futility. The AIDS conference in Barcelona just finished. If you followed any of that, the statistics are terrifying. 5,000 kids orphaned every day in Africa. Too bad, too bad. But then, of course, we talk about compassion fatigue, that wonderful North American invention, compassion fatigue. Compassion for them. There's too much. That's true. There's too much. So how do I endure it? I understand why property values are so important. Because that's me and my neighbors trying to make the world manageable. Manageable. So I'm not overwhelmed. But then, I'm brought to the great religious question, how real is God in my image of the world, really? How real is God in my understanding of reality? That's why Paul's so wonderful. He looked at the world and says, creation is subject to futility. He wouldn't be surprised, as the Senate hearings going on, for George Bush's too easy attempt to justify his own questionable business practices. That clearly is business as usual, but it's business as it should not be. And so I'm led, as I'm always led, I think, in reading these texts, to the edge of mystery. Trojak, you cannot do this by yourself. Compassion fatigue is totally comprehensible. precisely because God is not ingredient in my image of reality, only minimally so, or in only a highly privatized fashion. So we can be grateful that whoever included the letters to the Romans in the New Testament did so. Because it is a constant prod for me to say, Trojak, who are you really? Who are you really? What do you really want? What do you really believe? And how do you really locate your life, your action in the world?